Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye. Our scripture is going to come to us from Genesis. I'm going to read from page two, Genesis 3, verses 1 through 9. And I've explored this topic a couple of times, and I wanted to use it to update us a little bit before I head off on my 2 months away. If in Hebrew you had quotation marks that you could put around an intimate conversation between the Creator and the created, this is one of the first, if not the first. And it's interesting that in this conversation, the Creator asked the created, "Where are you?" Now, those of you that have heard me talk about this before in the past know that where I'm going to go with this is not the fact that God is not asking them, "Where are we?" God's going to walk into the garden and saying, "Where are you? I need you to tell me where you are." The question is rather one of, do they know where they are? Do they know where they are? And so this question is this first question that God offers in the garden. And I've actually heard it said that the whole rest of the Bible is commentary on that one question. It's a great question. Where are you? I'm going to be reading to you from Genesis 3, 1 through 9. I won't get to all the rest of the story. You guys know that everybody's going to blame everybody else. It's not my fault. You've already heard all that. I'm going to focus instead on the question. Genesis 3, 1 through 9, page 2. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. The serpent said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Let me start this by offering a little bit of insight into me personally. Where am I? Honestly believe I'm exactly where God wants me to be in this world, here at Hilltop United Methodist Church. I have regularly told first Bishop Elaine and then Bishop Karen, I did important things in the Army, but nothing that I did in the Army is anywhere near the significance of what is going on here at Hilltop United Methodist Church. I am where God wants me to be in this world, and that is right here in Sandy, Utah. And thank you for these past 5 years. 5 years I've been here. Is that hard to believe or what? Wow. I want to say, though, that I'm where God wants me to be, but I'm a little worn down. I'm a little fatigued. I'm a little tired. And I'm going to take 2 months off. I'm going to go spoil some grandchildren. I'm going to spend some time talking to children about what's important in life and being at places like Hilltop or some variant on that in West Virginia, Virginia, or Texas is an important element for my children. So I'm going to also do a little bit of writing. I've been encouraged by some people to do some writing. Marilyn thinks she's going to make me garden a little bit, but I'm going to work very, very hard to avoid it. We'll see what happens. But I'm going to take a couple of months and get myself recharged. There's no backstory here going on. I'm not mad at anybody. Nobody's mad at me. I just want to go out somewhere and go ride my bike a little bit. I'm a numbers person. You guys know that. And there's a number that's 40 that ought to be about 36 and a half. And that's my waist size, okay? I want to get it down to about 36 and a half, and I think you're going to help me do that. Marilyn's already got me the last 4 weeks. She's been training me a little bit. Last 4 weeks, I've been walking every morning for about 2.5-3 miles. And sometimes she doesn't go with me. She just sort of, she grabs me up, hands me my book on the telephone, and she hits me on the butt and says, "Get out of here, go for a walk." And I do. So I'm out there. I'm at a good place. I'm happy to be here. Where am I? I'm where God wants me to be, and I love it here, and it's a fantastic place. I'm a person of ideas, and I get up every Sunday morning, and I get to talk about ideas. So where am I? At a good place. I think Hilltop's at a good place. I really honestly do. And I want to come back to the element of who are we, and where are, and what is God calling us to do in the world? And I sort of frame it with this question out of Genesis, but I want to come back to an image out of Exodus that is repeated in Kings and it's repeated in the Gospels. It's important to remember that some of the most sacred encounters that we have with God occurs in the wilderness. We have an occasion, for example, where the children of Israel have left Egypt. They've left this kingdom of anxiety that's there where the Pharaoh says, "Make more bricks, make more bricks, make more bricks." And they've gone out in the desert. And the first thing they go, after God has delivered them through the Red Sea, is they sit down and they wander into some springs, and the springs are bitter. They're not able to drink from them. And they even think that maybe it's a good deal to perhaps go back to Egypt, because didn't we eat there? Didn't we have all the water we needed? And instead, God gives them this opportunity to understand that God's going to provide the springs and the date trees at Elim. It's in Exodus 15. And when they get there, they encounter 12 springs and 70 trees. They came to Elim where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they camped there by the water. It's Exodus 15. Now that imagery, I believe, describes Hilltop. Hilltop is like that oasis named Elim. They encounter Elim in this wilderness experience, and it's a place where they're going to be given nourishment from this sacred water, this holy water that's there. God provides it for them. And they're going to be given dates from the trees that are there. 70. 7, the creation. 10, the commandments. 12, the number of tribes that are there in the children of Israel. So the numbers are not arbitrary or capricious. They're there. And that is what they're going to find their nourishment and nurture there. We here at Hilltop are those springs. We are those palm trees of nourishment for those in this wilderness. We talk here about our mission being a church where you're encouraged to belong, believe, and become. We live in a wilderness here. We live in a wilderness here where assimilation to the norm is the cultural norm here. We live in a wilderness here where the idea of believing must precede the idea of belonging. And we're making a conscious choice to say, no, we invite you to come in and experience God's grace first by belonging to the community. And we do that, and we're willing to say that in such a way that we're going to nourish through water, we're going to nourish through dates those who are out in that wilderness experience. in Kings when Elijah ascends to the heavens. He does it in a wilderness experience. When Jesus takes the loaves and the fish, where is he? He's in the wilderness. Where are we? We are where God wants us to be. We are where God has called us to be. And where that is to be a place of nurture for those who would come in out of the wilderness and say, the last spring I went to was bitter, and I could not drink those waters. And I come in here, and I want to experience the sweetness of God's word, and I want to be nourished by those dates that are here growing in this place. Where are we? I would say to all of us that we are called to be a place of nurture in God's world. That's where we are, and that's what God calls us to be. I wonder if the world is not sometimes an element of like these slabs of stone that exist. There's beauty within that stone. There's beauty that's there within that stone. And you get an artist like Michelangelo. And he can sit there with that stone and he can start to see the pain that is inside there. He can start to see also the beauty that is inside there. He has four of these that are in Florence, Italy, and they're called prisoners or slaves. And they're all incomplete. None of them are complete. You know, we're not any of us really complete. And what Michelangelo is doing is he's slowly drawing out the beauty of this stone, chiseling it here, tapping it here, drawing it out, seeing the beauty, the intrinsic beauty that is inside this stone and developing it in some way. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to be in God's world. We're God's hands in this world. We look at the stones that exist out there, and we are artists, just as Michelangelo is an artist, where we are helping to draw out from the stones of life the beauty of those that are prisoners and slaves, taking them instead to a place of freedom and in knowing that God's grace is there. Where are we? We are where God has called us to be. Are we perfect yet? No, we are not. Bishop Caron asked the new ordinands last week, have you reached perfection yet? No. Are you still journeying towards perfection? And the answer was, yes, we are. Where are you? Are you at perfection yet? No. The answer is no, we're not. But are you on that journey towards perfection? Yes, we are. We're going to be the springs and the trees of Elim. We're going to reach deep. We're going to draw deep from that scripture that is there for us and given to us by you, O Lord. And we're going to use that to help encourage people to belong to the community so that they can become to a place of belief, so that they can become what God has called them to be in the world. And we're going to be sculptors. We're going to look at that raw stone that's there. And we're going to look inside that raw stone and say, where are you? And we're going to listen to God's sacred voice. And we're going to continue with God's hand guiding us, continue to draw out of that stone the intrinsic beauty that is there from all of those that are prisoners and slaves. How are we going to do that? Part of how we're going to do that is remembering the sacrifice of Christ Jesus in the world. We're going to remind ourselves that that's what grace looks like when it walks among us. We're going to do that by remembering that we are going to make a joyful noise unto the world, and we're going to worship the Lord with gladness, and we're going to come into that presence with singing. We do singing well here. That's how we're going to do it. Where are we? Where are you? You're not quite to your ultimate destination yet, but you're working on it. You're working on it. And God has called us to be change agents in the world, introducing people to the beauty that's inside of themselves, that's slowly being drawn out by the sculptor that is God, aided by us with God's sacred guidance. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.